It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For six consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Coming to you live from Atlanta, but raised on the mean streets of Philly. You'll be able to tell quickly. Just listen. It's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, you're going to be able to tell. I get a little short with you at times. Look, we're family on this show, right? We argue, we fuss, but we love. We do love. You know who I love? Rocket Mortgage, because I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Anybody who supports me, especially financially, I really love them. You want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Let Rocket Mortgage be a part of your life. It's the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you making time for us this morning. It's an NFL Sunday. We'll get into all the games of merit, because there's some games of merit, and then there's some games that really just aren't going to hold my attention. We got a lot coming up, including my first college football playoff four. I've waited till some of the big boys actually played to put together the college football playoff four. The first one will come up in no more than 10 minutes or so. So hang around for that. The Lakers tonight have a challenge in game three of the NBA Finals. Yes, it's October the 4th?
The 4th.
And we're talking about the NBA Finals? This has been a strange year, man. Strange year. NBA is reportedly going to be back at it at Christmas. It's going to be a quick turnaround. It's been a strange year, but it's been a successful year. And LeBron James tonight just tries to do what I think needs to be done. There was the horse comes up lame on a farm, and you love your horses. But the horse comes up lame. What do they do in the old westerns? They put the horse out of its misery. They usually, the cowboy would come up and shoot the horse. Put it out of its misery. So it's not in pain anymore. The Lakers got to put the heat out of their misery. Now, I'm not suggesting shooting anybody. Let me make that clear. What I'm suggesting is that shooting is the way the Lakers are going to get to the next round. It's the way they're going to get there. Just got to shoot the ball well. And more importantly, not give the Miami Heat any life. Eric Spoelstra let it show the other night. There's anger. And I think what it is, it's anger and frustration. Because he knows that the plan of how the Miami Heat was going to be able to try to upend the Los Angeles Lakers in the bubble down there in Orlando was going to have to come because of the fact that they had every man on deck and then everybody did their part and played extremely well. This is a bad hand that's been dealt the Miami Heat. We lived through this whole bubble, and the NBA did a spectacular job of keeping coronavirus out of our mouths and out of our bloodstreams. And they managed to have games and entertain us. And then we get to the finals and we get this. This is what we get. And it's certainly not what we expected, and it's not what we wanted. You don't want to see Miami without a chance to compete. And Eric Spoelstra the other night, I saw it. He was not a happy camper. He knows if he had his full complement of players and a chance to strategize, I still don't believe they were going to win the series. But it would be a lot more entertaining than this. For the Lakers, they got to put the Heat out of their misery. And tonight is a good way to be able to step to that. The NFL has decided to postpone the New England Patriots game today. So they've postponed it. Now, as of now, they've still postponed it towards tomorrow night. That's the word. But that was the word of the Tennessee Titans last week that we had. But as we talked about earlier in the show, the NFL has different ideas about different teams. Because when the Atlanta Falcons had the same exact situation that New England has. One positive test. One. And what did they do? The Falcons played last Sunday. So the Falcons and the Bears were potentially in the same exact situation that the New England Patriots and the Chiefs would be today if they played. And what happened? They played the game. And what happened? Zero. Zero positive tests. So nobody else on the Falcons tested positive, and nobody on the Bears tested positive. So no big outbreak. So what's the difference? Now, it was suggested that because the Falcons were the home team, which I don't understand at all what that even means, since the Falcons were the home team, that's why they decided to play the game. Doesn't make any sense to me. I'll tell you why they're playing the game. Why they played the game last week. Because the NFL doesn't care about the Falcons the same way they care about the New England Patriots. And by the way, for good reason. For good reason. The Falcons organization doesn't move the meter nationally for all the other owners on national television. The Falcons are not a factor in competing for an NFL championship this year. The Falcons are already one of the laughing stock teams of the NFL right now. The NFL doesn't care. But they do care about the New England Patriots. And by the way, don't feel bad about it if you're a Falcons fan. Because the Patriots should mean more. They're better. And as an organization, they are the gold standard. So it should mean more that the Patriots, they got to be more careful with. And also, too, who are the Patriots playing? The new, shiniest toy on the shelf, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And the NFL doesn't want to end up in a situation where Patrick Mahomes goes down or the Chiefs go down. They don't want that. So out of an abundance of caution, this is how they've decided to proceed. Let me just share this with you. I've heard a lot of my peers in sports talk radio over the last 24 hours during this Cam Newton story saying the same line over and over again. Boy, the NFL's going to wish they had built in another week. If they had only built in another week. See? They now they're in trouble. The NFL has already built in another week. The NFL builds in a week every single year. And they build in a week, and that's the week between the Super Bowl and the championship games. They have a two-week layoff. They can always push wild card weekend back 1 week. They could always make up games that week. If they had a temporary reason to have to play four or five makeup games, they could play them the weekend before Wild Card Weekend. They push Wild Card Weekend back. They don't have a week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, which they've done many times before. It's not like something they can't do or they haven't done. So please stop saying it. Stop saying it. Well, the NFL's going to really wish they'd built in another week. There's a built-in week already, and they've used it. I believe the last time they used it was 9/11. I believe that's the last time they used it. I could be incorrect with that. You want to join us on the show? I love it when you join in the conversation at 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, on top of what Geico could already be saving you. And if you had a 16-year-old daughter who's just learned to drive, thank you, Geico. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to be able to learn more today. Absolutely awesome. We love them very, very much. Okay. There was a world of college football played in the last few days. So we've gotten to see college football back, and we've gotten to see big boys in action. So for the first time this year, I present to you my college football playoff four.
Every week, John Kincaid puts the top teams in college football on notice. It's time for JK's Playoff Four.
Okay, there's going to be a common theme today. Everybody outside the American South is going to be pissed at me. But I don't really care, because I've got two eyes. I probably follow college football a lot closer than maybe your host in the Northeast or the Midwest, potentially. I'm going to tell you right now, here is your playoff four for the week, and we'll find out what happens. Number one, Clemson. Clemson Tigers, number one. They deserve to be number one. They will be number one right now. Alabama's number two. Shocker. Boy, Kincaid, you're really going out on a ledge here. Now, number three, the Florida Gators. That offense is special. The defense, not so much. Will they not survive because of the defense when they play one of their top opponents? We'll find out. But for now, chomp chomp, you Gators. This is the highest you've been in a long time in my college football playoff four. And number four, the Georgia Bulldogs. Impressive win last night over Auburn, and the experts were picking Auburn all over the place. It was constant. All I saw was Auburn was going to win. So there's your first playoff four of the year. Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Florida 3, Georgia 4. There is your college football playoff 4 here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Something about that seems very normal, Anthony. Just seems very normal to have the playoff 4 back. And I'm sure people will be upset with me. They're going to be upset. They're going to say, oh yeah, all Southern teams. Well, I haven't seen Ohio State yet. When I see Ohio State play, I absolutely will be considering Ohio State in that mix, I'm sure. Other teams will have a chance to be able to engage me also.
Well, you're a college football snob.
I am a college football snob. I said that earlier. I'm a snob. I like the big programs. And look, at least here's one thing. We've been delivered. I went to church yesterday, and Father Fallon said Mass. Father Fallon is awesome.
You go to confession?
Not yesterday. I didn't have to. I went to confession 2 weeks ago. What the hell did I do in the last 2 weeks that you're getting on me about? What do you think I did? Other than wish ill on some people. You know what, Anthony? I probably should have gone to confession. Now that I think about it, maybe wishing bad things to happen to certain people is probably not good. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. But Father Fallon said Mass yesterday. And Father Fallon is this Irish priest, older Irish priest. And he rambles. He gets lost. He gets lost along the way. Whatever story he's telling, he makes me look focused. And Father's telling stories like that, you know, and everything. And I'm like, okay, it seemed normal. And he was talking about everybody getting back to normal. This seemed normal. seemed really normal to be back yesterday. Seemed really normal. College football to be back. And look, I am a snob. I'm a snob. I like the big name programs. But we were delivered from evil. And that was one of the things Father Fallon talked about yesterday, is we're trying to be delivered from evil in our society. And there are evil forces pulling at us all the time. Sometimes very subtly. Sometimes we don't even know it. And so we were delivered from the evil of UCF yesterday. And for you Central Florida grads, I'm sorry. But your bad actions, claiming a national championship that you didn't win when Alabama won it, to me, makes me wish ill on your program. I think it's chump behavior. Big time chump. And I will root for the upset every single year until you redeem yourself. Hanging banners and making rings and celebrating a national championship you did not win. When you knew the rules going in, I'll root against you every time.
And what was it, like 2 weeks ago, Dylan Gabriel, he declared the Knights the best team in Florida?
He did. He's going to have to reevaluate that. But you see, he had just seen a Florida State game. Dylan, the UCF is the third best team in Florida. Because I'm telling you, the Gators' offense is special. The Gators are the best team in Florida. Miami is right now the second best team in Florida. And we'll see if Miami's for real next Saturday, when they get the chance to take on Clemson. They will be first up next week on the fallout. And by the way, by this time next week, Anthony, the division series will be over. Like, the division series will be over. By Friday or Saturday, the division series will all be over. So next week, we will already know who's going to the National League and the American League Championship Series. We're going to know all that, too. So
anybody but the Yankees, please.
Are you getting tired of it? The Yankees win! The Yankees win! The most dramatic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The Yankees in a five-hour game that was totally a bunch of dog poop. I saw our boy Mraz talking about that Yankee game. This is one you're going to be talking about 20 years from now. This Yankee game.
Oh, boy. Like, he got in trouble for that.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It was a horrendous game.
He was not supposed to be tweeting anything about the Yankees-Indian series, so he got in trouble with DA on the show.
Did he? Did DA put him in detention?
I think there's a severe punishment upcoming.
What are they going to do? Make him work out 6 days a week? Come on, Mraz. All right, coming up, Bill Bender, one of my favorites from the sporting news. I always want to read what he has to say. But I want to argue with him this morning. I don't believe the Pac-12 has a legitimate argument to say, count us in. He'll tell me if he counts my opinion out. Next on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. Consider yourself in the front pew. Back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And one of my favorite things, and sort of a requirement of guests on the show, especially guests that we invite to return, is they have to be willing to come on and say, you're absolutely out of your mind. Like, I don't like guests that just affirm hosts. Bill Bender over the years has told me that he completely disagrees with me, or he thinks I'm nuts. And that's good. He's from the sporting news, and he is far more talented and informed on college football than I could ever be. And he joins us now on the John Kincaid Show. So, Bill, I'm challenging you to take that same standard that you've used before when you've made me look dumb on my own show. So that's the challenge this morning.
We can do that, but I'm not sure what college football take you're going to have where I'm going to say you're out of your mind, other than it, unless you say something to the effect of the Big 12 is going to be in the playoffs.
No, what I'm going to say to you is I don't think the Pac-12 will have enough of a resume that they should be considered for it.
I would disagree if Oregon goes undefeated. Let's say Oregon goes 7-0.
What, their six-game juggernaut, and then they play a championship game? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to have to bank on. I would disagree from the standpoint that I think, but I would hold the Pac-12 to, you probably got to go undefeated no matter what. Like, no 6-1 Pac-12 teams getting in, regardless of how good they look in the Pac-12 championship game. Now, the SEC, I think what you're getting at is how many SEC teams are we going to see in the playoffs?
Yes.
Pretty good chance we see two, because I think three of the five best teams in the country are in the SEC, and we haven't seen one of those top five teams play. I mean, obviously, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, Alabama are probably the top four teams right now, and I would, whenever Ohio State gets out there, they'll be in that top five.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that if I said to you right now, the three teams out of the SEC, are you ranking them in the order that I would expect? Because right now, if I'm ranking them, and I just did in my first playoff four of the year, I ranked it as Alabama 2, Florida 3, Georgia 4. Would your ranking be the same? Would they be in the same order?
I would go, I think Alabama's the best team in the SEC. And, I mean, Clemson right now. So Clemson and Alabama played the same game yesterday.
Yes.
It was a little bit weird. They're not going to lose. They never really threatened. They'd be 1-2 in either order. I might go Alabama 1 over Clemson.
Okay.
Because I just think and then I'd put Georgia 3, Florida 4. I don't like Florida's defense is a little leaky on the back end, and I don't know that I like what Georgia did defensively, offensively, pretty balanced. And but Florida's offense is better, so that's going to be a heck of a game on Halloween.
That way, yeah. They moved it a week back this year. So they took it off the traditional Halloween weekend and they moved it a week back into November, I guess. Part of the reason by the way, though, I found out part of the reason. Conspiracy theory. They moved it for sweeps. For rating sweeps.
Oh.
They moved
there
it into November.
There looked like there were a lot of people at both of those stadiums yesterday. I mean, not speculating.
I'm going to speculate.
Like there were a lot of people there.
I live an hour from Athens. I'm going to tell you that I was speculating. That looked crowded yesterday. And it looked like there was a lot more. How many were supposed to be? Like 20 grand? I've been in Sanford Stadium. It's like 93 or 94,000 people. It was more than that place was a third full easily yesterday. And I wondered about that. I wondered if they're going to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something just to keep in mind. And again, I mean, that's the takeaway from Georgia last night after all those questions about quarterback, is their offense good? They came out and did the right thing, you know, making a statement 24-0, had a balanced offense. I think their first 40 plays, 19 runs, 21 passes, and Auburn just looked out of sorts from the get-go. And I'd be more concerned if I'm an Auburn fan today than most fan bases, because you're the same inconsistent program. You go out, take care of business against Kentucky, look good doing it. Bo Nix threw too much. They didn't run the ball. Their defense didn't play well. I mean, Auburn looks like the same in that conference this year, maybe 7-3, 6-4.
And they've lost 13 of 16 to Georgia, which is really not – I mean, that's bordering on where Florida's been dominated by Georgia or Georgia's dominated Florida. What are you hearing about Ohio State? And how they're ramping up and getting ready to go. Any concerns about Florida State and where they're going? I mean, excuse me, for Ohio State, I should say. Not Florida State. No. We know where they're going. We just flushed them.
Yeah, I don't really. I've made my take on Florida State a couple times in the last week. We agree on that one. Ohio State had, you know, an open media practice yesterday. They're going to be good. They've got Justin Fields. They've got good receivers around them. They got some guys, you know, Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis came back. I think the key with them is their offensive line is going to be dominant again in the Big Ten. And defensively, they've got to find a couple guys to step up. But, I mean, whenever Boza leaves, the other Boza comes, or Chase Young. And now Zach Harrison's going to be that guy this year for them. And I just – the thing for them, John, is I don't see a loss on the Big Ten schedule anyway. So once they win the Big Ten, the big question is, can they go beat a Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, or Florida in the playoffs?
Do you believe there's anything that Justin Fields – by the way, I was so impressed with the way Justin Fields has shown leadership during this COVID situation, and also with the student activism. I think he's been an incredible spokesperson. I think he's probably impressed a lot of NFL teams. But is there anything you believe Justin Fields could do on the field this year that would make an NFL team with the number one pick say, you know what? I think I'll try my luck with Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence, because Justin Fields certainly looks more like, you know, skill set, some of the quarterbacks that are starting to show great promise in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he does, and he didn't make too many mistakes last year, and he'll probably have another big year this year in that offense. I don't know how he is better statistically, and knowing that he threw three interceptions all of last year was exactly what you were saying, that skill set that they want. I just feel like no matter what he does, it's not going to be enough to pass Trevor Lawrence, who is just different in terms of an NFL quarterback who can run too. I kind of made the case in our budget meeting the other day that there's about three or four teams that I can't make a case for Trevor Lawrence for in the NFL, and most of that's based on financial reasons, like the Vikings can't take him. But I think 26, 27 NFL teams could make a case for Trevor Lawrence.
I think there's a chance that some team could end up putting that pick up for auction. I really do. I mean, if you talked about it there, the Vikings couldn't take him. They financially, I don't know how it could work. The Atlanta Falcons, they can't get rid of Matt Ryan. They can't get rid of Julio Jones. They're in terrible salary cap hell. Even at the end of this year, they can't get rid of it. There's too much dead money. So I don't even think they could do it. No one's going to trade for Matt Ryan in that contract, or trade for Julio Jones in that contract. So, and there'd be so much dead money against the cap, it's going to be really, really hard for a lot of these teams.
Right, and I think Houston's another one. If it goes well, they also have the last Clemson quarterback. But
yes,
and then there's the other ones like the Giants and Jets.
Giants can't, can they? I mean,
I think he's on a rookie contract. Daniel Jones.
So I guess you could. I would.
Yeah.
And I would if I'm the Jets. But I believe if you gave me a chance, I still, if I'm an NFL franchise, I'd take a flyer on Sam Darnold. I would absolutely give him another chance, because I think he's been in a bad situation.
It'll be interesting to see. You're right. I mean, here's one of the interesting trends we're noticing at Sporting News. Our Trevor Lawrence stories are getting read a lot more on Sunday from 1 to 7 than they are from Saturday to noon 8.
That's crazy.
You know, once that team starts losing, you know these fan base. If you Google, I tried this the other day, John. If you Google Trevor Lawrence and then insert NFL team, pretty much all 32 have a decent list of stories about Trevor Lawrence as it pertains to their team.
I would love to. I'm a bad fan, I guess. If my team, and right now the Eagles are bad at 0-2-1, they're bad. When my team falls where if they get off to a terrible start, I root for disaster. I root for the worst record possible, because I want draft capital, and I just want somebody other than Howie Roseman picking the players. So, but that's a whole other issue for another day.
There's no point in going 7-9, John.
No, there isn't. There really isn't. Bill Bender's always a good read. Be sure to be following him on Twitter, too, and link to all his stuff. Bill, always appreciate it, buddy. Take care, man.
Hey, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, KC was winning. Hank Aaron was beginning. One Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell. The Thumper and Mel Parnell. And Ike was the only one winning.
Welcome back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller. Seaver, Garvey, Schmidt, invited Blue. I know at one point they say that. It's the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and we've got a great week of baseball in front of us. But it's going to be a frantic pace. Five consecutive days for each of the divisional series, which this year are very divisional. For the first time, I mean, you're talking about every single matchup being teams that have great familiarity. But does that familiarity breed contempt? J.J. Cooper, the executive editor of Baseball America, joins us here on the John Kincaid Show. J.J., what difference does it make as far as strategy, maybe outcome of a series, that these teams all know each other so, so well in the divisional round?
It obviously it's been something where it's kind of hard to find the advantage in it because the pitchers know the hitters know the pitchers. And to be honest, in 2020, a lot of this also comes down to the reality that with scouting now and everything, you get video on everyone. I don't think it's going to change it that much that way. The fascinating part on top of it is these teams have all played each other. There may be some grudges and all. And then they're also stuck in bubbles where they're staying in the same hotels too. So if you get into it at the game, then you may end up bumping into someone in the elevator as well.
What do you think of the neutral site bubble type situation for these divisional playoffs and then obviously through to the World Series? Do you think that any team has any kind of advantage potentially?
If there was a team, I've struggled to come up with one that if I was going to come up with one that might be a little bit affected. The Yankees have power that really should play pretty much anywhere, but we ended up that we're playing the rest of the playoffs in pretty, I would describe them almost across the board as at least semi-pitcher's parks. And
yes.
Texas, I would say, significantly a pitcher's park. And so if you're really dependent on home runs, that might affect you a little bit. The Yankees are very dependent on home runs. The Braves are very dependent on home runs. However, we also are in 2020 where, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton doesn't hit. Most of his homers, Aaron Judge's homers, aren't 390 feet clearing a wall by a foot. They're often no doubters. So I don't think it's going to affect anyone dramatically, but I do think it does help the pitching a little bit because we're not playing any of these games at Coors Field.
Who has the most favorable matchup in the four series?
I love the Padres, how fun they are and all that. That said, if I'm looking at the Dodgers right now, they have way more starting pitching depth. Where the Padres are hoping Mike Clevinger can pitch in this series. But the Padres, basically, what they did in their best of three, I don't think sustainable over a five-game series. They threw the whole bullpen at it day after day. You can do that two, three times. I don't think you could do that 5 days in a row. The Dodgers already are probably the best team, you know, in baseball this year. I think that matchup works out really well for them.
Do you believe that this Marlins club, which is really on a magic carpet ride, has a real good chance to beat the Braves? Because we know the Marlins have, in their history as a franchise, have never lost a postseason series.
I think this is almost 50-50. The Braves are a better team over the course of the season. But as you talked about the starting pitching, the reality is the Braves have two really good starters, one kind of shaky starter and no one else. And
right.
I kind of like the Marlins starting pitching better, which in a five-game series with no off days, Braves have a great bullpen, but you can only go to it so much. I kind of think the Marlins do have a shot at this. At the same time, the Braves are the better team. So, yeah, well, maybe I go 55-45 Braves, I guess is the way I put it.
The Houston Astros started smelling themselves after winning their series and advancing into the next round against the Twins. But everybody beats the Twins in the postseason, I guess. So, with the Astros, do you believe that that team has some swagger, has some chip on its shoulder? I don't know why they would be the ones that the offended party, but they're acting like it.
I actually, you know what, if you're going to be the, embrace it. I actually don't have a problem with them doing that. Embrace it. Be the team that everyone hates. Go with the everyone hates us, so we're going to win it just to anger everybody. Do that. I think that kind of worked for Houston. So the only one approach they have, the contrite approach, is not exactly going to make anyone forgive them for what they did. So just be the... you know, be the Patriots, be the Raiders from the 60s and 70s, be the team that everyone loves to hate.
Who is the best team right now in the American League?
Whew. The Rays are the best team if we say, you know, think that 60 games matters. At the same time, I think that both of these series are, you know, 55-45 type series.
Wow, that's awesome.
Especially over five games.
That's great for the sport, right? I mean, that's what you want.
Oh, yeah. I think it's... and also, we have the Rays facing the Yankees in a series where you think that either of those teams have a good shot to win it. The Rays are Mr. Small Market. The Rays are a team that never has a payroll over $100 million. And they're facing off against the Yankees that are the team that always has money to spend. We have the Dodgers facing the Padres. The Dodgers are consistently great. The Padres haven't been great, you know, in basically a generation. And they're probably the most fun young team in baseball right now. So we have a lot of really fun matchups here.
which is really, really good for the sport. Did you believe, like some others did, that this was going to be almost impossible to pull off? Because there were baseball zealots who said they're never going to be able to complete a season. Where did you feel? How did you feel about it when it started up in late July?
I thought there would be hurdles. This does not surprise me, though. And the thing that was lost in all that to me at the time, when the Marlins had the outbreak, the Cardinals had the outbreak, and you had people saying you need to shut it down and all that, everyone involved in this has every reason to try to get this to the finish line. If you're the owners, obviously you have reasons, because you have millions and millions of dollars of regular season TV contracts, and even more so when you get to the postseason. But if you're a player, who's going to have a three, four, five year MLB career, well, and in those 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to earn $5, 6, 7 million. Taking one of those four seasons away,
yes,
is cutting a massive amount from your lifetime earnings, probably. Well, you have every reason to sacrifice, which these players have in a lot of cases. You have every reason to sacrifice to get through that, because your playing career is short enough that it is worth many sacrifices to try to get $1 million, $2 million, $3 million out of the year.
J.J. Cooper, the executive editor of Baseball America, joining us here as we get ready for the divisional playoffs beginning this week here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. J.J., you didn't realize this. You didn't check your email. I made you baseball commissioner this morning.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if there's a pay raise involved with it. You're going to have to negotiate that yourself.
Probably so.
But do we, you're the commissioner, and I give you the thumbs up, thumbs down. You have total control. Do we have a 16-team playoff next year?
No chance.
If it was your choice, you say no chance.
You can't do that. To me, here's the thing. When you do a 16-team playoff in a sport with 30 teams, the regular season becomes irrelevant. Well, and to be honest, the NBA's kind of made that trade-off, and that's fine for them, because the NBA has viewed it as, you know, for a lot of fans, it's like, we'll check in on the great games during the regular season, but really it's the playoffs is when it matters. For MLB, with a 162-game schedule, you have to have the regular season really mean something. And there's a lot of these other things that have been done that maybe there are ways to use some of these things. You know, a lot of the changes this year didn't seem as awful to fans once they actually saw it. But you can't have more than 50% of the teams in Major League Baseball. You don't need to have a 78-win team making it to the playoffs and then basically, you know, okay, having a situation where they win their first-round series and all of a sudden a team that won 100 games is knocked out. And the bigger thing for that is it would push to mediocrity, because why spend to get to 100 wins if the difference between winning 100 games and winning 82 games is very minimal?
What about the runner on second base in extra innings? You're the commissioner.
Definitely not doing the playoffs. At the same time, during the regular season, it hadn't bothered me. I cover a lot of minor league baseball. In minor league baseball, that hasn't bothered me that much.
So it doesn't bother you. So you'll keep that one in. How about the three-batter minimum for a relief pitcher?
Has anyone – I mean, I love that. I kind of like the strategic planning that happens with that.
I do, too. And I have a feeling, though, the powers that be are going to push back on that one, that's one that they're going to take away.
I watched a lot of baseball this year. There were very few times that I ever shook my fist at the TV and said, oh, they, you know, should have been able to use that pitcher against one less batter or two less batters in this bat inning.
Is Major League Baseball in the best position it's been with young talent in a long time?
Yeah, and it's been that way, I would say, though, for the last 10 years. This is a game that is getting younger and younger because they got the steroids and performance-enhancing drugs somewhat out of the game, and with fastballs at 100-plus, it is a sport that rewards young, you know, quick reactions. And so we're seeing the benefits of that in many ways with the Tatises and the Sotos and everyone else.
What do they have to do to get the fan base, though, to get younger, the viewing audience to get younger? Is there anything they can do, or is that just going to...
I do think that some of the things that they did this year, again, I know that traditionalists are going to hate it. I'm actually working on a story on a indie league that played 7-inning games as a course. I don't think they're going to do this at the major league level. I don't want them to do this at the major league level, but you got to figure out ways to get the game shorter. The reality is that the public does not, as a general rule, find spending 3+ hours watching something or going to a ballpark and spending 3+ hours to be that. There's a reason that movies, back when we had movies that we could go to, aren't generally 3.5 hours long. And
exactly,
speeding up the game is the key thing.
JJ, always great stuff, and we're going to follow it along at Baseball America. You want to be tuned in the next 3 weeks. It's going to be absolutely awesome, the sprint to the finish line. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Got to love it. JJ Cooper joining us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sam Ehlinger yesterday made a comment after Texas got beaten for the 7th time in 9 matchups versus TCU. He made the comment that Texas deserves better. That the University of Texas deserves better. I thought it was a strange comment. Yes, they deserve better. But did you just throw your coach under the bus? More important, did you throw yourself under the bus? Because you see, Sam Ehlinger has the opportunity potentially to be able to go to the next level and maybe play. He could. I don't think he's doing a lot to win people over to say he's going to be anything more than a clipboard holder at the moment, but that could all change. You know how there are workout warriors and people get evaluated. But when he makes that statement that Texas deserves better, I wonder if he threw his head coach under the bus inadvertently or maybe with intention. Think for yourself. I would wonder if the athletic director wakes up this morning and says, yep, maybe Texas does deserve better. Because it's inexcusable with all the assets they have at their disposal that they're not better than they are. All right, coming up, there is something that I can't stand about baseball and these postseason playoffs. Plus, the NFL gets ready to kick off in shark-infested waters. JK Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the 6th year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.